discuss board dynamics in relation to talent, because I think it's quite clear that chairs and CEOs, group CEOs, are putting more pressure on regional presidents and HRDs to have local successors in their pipeline. So with this in mind, how is that changing how boards are looking at talent at the moment?
Yeah, well, one, I think they're, well, I'm sure it goes along a spectrum, but I think boards are now far more involved. And, you know, I think of them as activist boards. I'm on a number of boards now. And, you know, most of us, we want to be strategic and take a step back. But in all candor, you know, because our names are on the line as directors, we have both a fiduciary responsibility and a strategic responsibility as well. It's important for us to be aware of what's going on. I think one of the ways that HRDs can be a part of that conversation, A, is to be a trusted advisor to the CEO, but you also need to get the mandate from the CEO to be involved in talking through and providing options and ideas that you can talk through. And again, you have to get that mandate or mantle from the CEO to have that conversation with the board. But I think that's a way in which you can get in front of those folks to get that exposure, if you will, to becoming a part of that discussion. It's not often that the HRD of an organization is able to sit at the table in board discussions, unless there's a specific initiative or program of work or something that kind of compels the HRD to have that seat at that table. That's typically a closed loop, if you will. So typically the only people you're going to get from the organization is going to be the CEO, and the CEO has a seat on the board. But HRDs aren't often sitting at that table. I actually, at GrowCon in Australia, I was able to sit at that table on a regular basis. Not only was I part of the board papers, I was able to leverage my relationship with the CEO to have a conversation with the rest of the board about some of the things that we're doing, presented a lot of strategic components, quantified our results, quantified our expectations, and where we were in that kind of journey. So the more, again, evidence and information and ideas and examples around what we were doing and the outcomes that we were trying to get to, the more I was able to be a part of that conversation.
That's great, Wesley. And let's pick up on that theme of exposure as well, because I know when we were in Singapore recently, one key theme that did arise was that the lack of exposure is a real barrier in terms of how to influence boards. So how do you think that executives can overcome these barriers? Have you got kind of any practical advice that you can share to our listener at all?
Yeah, to some degree, I'm going to repeat myself, but it is about how you can develop a good relationship with the CEO or leadership team so that you are almost part and parcel of those conversations. Again, both in terms of commerciality, but how to leverage people and culture as a way to hit some of those performance targets or commercial targets. But you have to be invited, and to be invited, you have to be able to demonstrate evidence of outcomes and performance. And so, you know, typically you're not going to be able to sit at that table just because. There's going to have to be a compelling business case that says West should come to this board meeting, which again is going to probably focus around some very specific initiatives and programs of work. So, like I said, it's unlikely that HRD or other executives, perhaps, you know, finance because of, you know, a RIM committee or a FAIR committee, but I chair with the Australian Institute of Architects, the People and Culture Committee. So I'm in charge of recruiting and selecting CEOs, which I'm actually in the process of doing right now. I'm also in charge of running the performance review for the CEO. I'm in charge of succession planning. So there are a number of things that are unique to my role as chair of People and Culture, but as a board member. So the manager within the business rarely gets a part of that conversation. But, you know, on a monthly basis, we're able to meet as a People and Culture part of the organization, and he is a part of that conversation as well. So he has direct access to me, but not necessarily a seat at the table in the context of a board meeting.
Okay, that's a great example, Wesley, and very timely that we would be having this discussion then as well. I think that really ties into how regional leaders can positively influence upwards in order to maximise those internal progression opportunities as well.